Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Heavenly Father, as we consider this message, this gospel message from your servant Mark, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in this message, show us how it speaks to our lives individually, and how we respond to the call of Jesus, whether we respond immediately or whether we procrastinate, whether it be the call to salvation, the call to discipleship, or whatever it may be. Lord, we pray that you would just take us as this passage speaks immediately, and that we would respond as such. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, has procrastination ever left you high and dry? I'm seeing some nods. We definitely. I think all of us know what that's about. Have you just put something off? And, well, you knew it needed to be done. I mean, you really knew it needed to be done. Something you were like, this is important. I need to get it done. And yet, you just kept putting it off until it was just too late. I know I'm guilty of that. I mean, meant to do it, but do it a little bit later. Maybe a little bit later. Maybe a little bit later until it was too late. Now, do you ever find yourself procrastinating in spiritual things? Maybe you've said to yourself, I need to pray for this, and I'll be sure to do it later. Or it sure would be a good thing to read my Bible some more. I'll sure to do it, but later. Or even more tragically, I probably should look into this being saved thing, and I'm having too much fun, so I'll be sure to do it later. There is a tendency that we have. I guess we could call it human nature, and that is to put things off, to procrastinate, as if we have all the time in the world. Unfortunately, when our procrastination concerns spiritual things, we diffuse the urgency of our calling, and there are spiritual consequences. A couple of weeks ago, we studied Jesus' call to belief in verses 14 and 15 here in Mark chapter 1, as he came preaching, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And following that call to believe, in our passage today, we are given examples of what it means to believe and the urgency to completely turn to Christ and follow him as his disciple. Look again with me, please, at verses 16 and 19. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then verse 19. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. The Sea of Galilee has various names in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see it called the Sea of Kinnereth at one point. In the New Testament, there are a few other names that it's called, like the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Tiberias. And the setting is a very picturesque one. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, and at its widest point, it's 7 miles. And it sits in the Jordan Valley. And if you're familiar with the geography there, you know that that is 700 feet below sea level. And to the east and to the west of the lake, there are mountains. The water is very blue, and it's described during the spring as a sapphire and a setting of emerald. and when the water is still and smooth. The mountain splendors are mirrored in the blue depths. The water is sweet to drink. And around most of the lake, there's a wide beach that is pebbly, but also has a sprinkling of small shells. And in the time of Christ, the fishing trade from the sea was very prosperous and very lucrative. And many of the towns that were on its shores flourished. Fish were caught, they were salted, and then they were shipped throughout the Roman Empire. And that brings us to the scene as Jesus was starting his ministry, where he went for a walk along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And there, seeing several fishermen work very hard, he intervenes in their lives in an irrevocable way. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, they fill in a lot of the details of Mark's account. Mark, of course, is very deliberate to getting to the point of the story. That's his style of writing. He basically focuses on the fact that Jesus called and that those that were called immediately responded. But with the testimony recorded in Luke, we can get a better image in our head of exactly what happened, the circumstances there. Now, as I read it, it seems like the calling of the first disciples went something like this. As Jesus took a walk along the sea, due to his rising popularity, knowing that John the Baptist had prepared for the way for him, and also that he was a beyond exceptional teacher, because of this rising popularity, he had quite a large crowd following after him. And, well, these folks who were following along as he was going for a walk by the sea, they were really in for quite a retreat that day, or quite a treat, because Jesus had purpose to call his first four disciples of the 12 that he would call to specially train to do a mission. And upon the shore, as Jesus walked along looking out at the water, he saw Simon Peter and Andrew, Simon's brother, out on the lake casting their nets while they were trying to catch some fish. And as it was, they had been fishing all night long and yet hadn't caught anything. And so they, you know, in short order, called it quits, said it was a bad day for fishing, and went to shore. Now, knowing who he was calling, Jesus likely he stopped to watch them, waiting for them to come to shore. Thus, when the brothers brought their boats to shore and they got out and they began to tidy up, began to tend their nets, fixing them before they went home, Jesus approached them. So look with me at Luke chapter 5, particularly when we're looking at verses 3 through 7. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. We are told in Luke's account that Simon and Andrew's partners in fishing was James and John. And apparently, James and John heard Simon's call for help, so they dropped their nets that they were mending, and they rowed out there to help with this huge catch of fish that Jesus had provided. And they were totally amazed. Here they had fished all night, nothing. Jesus said, "Throw your nets down," and it was about to sink the boat. A true miracle. Simon was so struck that he fell down on his knees, crying out, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Simon recognized in Jesus' act the very hand of God and the presence of God, and he saw himself in that light as the sinner that he was. Yet Jesus did not rebuke him. Rather, he quelled his fears and he called Simon to him. In Mark 1:17, Jesus simply said to Simon and Andrew, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." What a brilliant metaphor that the Lord chose to do to this occupation of the men that they knew so well. You know, from the very beginning, through the designation fishers of men, Jesus made it clear that inherent to his call to his disciples was his intent that they would one day call others. He had a mission for them, and their time with him would be a time of training to prepare them for that mission. And in Christ's statement, he was saying that he would teach them, mold them, train them, strengthen their faith, and empower them. So empowered, they would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, sort of like casting a net to the whole world and draw in new Christians. Now, following Simon and Andrew's call, we further see a further call here in verses 19 and 20 of Mark chapter 1 here. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Now, considering the passage in Luke 5, we see that a little time later, after the miracle of the catch, James and John had sailed or rowed, whichever they were doing, their boats to the shore, and they finished up the tending of their nets, or they were working on it. And there, Jesus came to them while they were at work for that. He went over to their boat and spoke to them and called them too. And notice how the language that Jesus uses here implies a sense of urgency to the call. It says, immediately he called them. Immediately he called them. Now, he didn't wait around, get to know them, and then call them. He called them immediately. What an opportunity. But did they recognize it as such a great opportunity? How would they respond to the call of Jesus? Would they say, "Well, I'm busy. I'm trying to get these nets tended. I got to get them put up." Did they say that? Did they say, "Well, maybe later, Jesus. Jesus, once we get done, we get back to the house, and why don't you come on by?" No, that's not what happened at all. We see, in particular, in verse 18, for Simon and Andrew, it says, "And immediately." See, that immediately was respond with an immediately. And immediately, leaving their nets, they followed him. There was no hee-hawing around. Jesus called, they went and did it. They said, "We're following you, Lord." And then in verse 20, Mark writes of James and John's response. And it says, "And leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, they followed him." You can kind of picture that. There's Zebedee in the boat with the servants, and they're like, "Dad, we got to go." And they're falling after Jesus. Who knows what Zebedee was thinking? But there they go, following Jesus. And Jesus now has his first four disciples. This was their time. It was their chance. And everything hung on that moment. And there was no room whatsoever for procrastination. So they acted. Immediately they left everything, as Luke says, and they followed Jesus, and their lives would never, ever be the same. Now, do you see how this account of the calling of the first disciples follows Jesus' call to repent and believe? Do you see that? That as he basically what he was preaching there in verse 15. When we see Simon's confession to Jesus that he was a sinner, this is evidence of his repentance. And his response of immediately following Jesus was evidence of his belief. Repent and believe the gospel. This is the model for all disciples of Christ, all who are called by the Lord to be his. And what it is that an essential part of believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is that there is a driving imperative to follow Him. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you follow Him. And, well, hence, all who believe are disciples of Christ, are His people, having answered His call. Now, have you ever heeded that call? Have you ever heard that call of Jesus where He says to you, follow Me? Have you heard that call? I mean, if you truly believe in Jesus, you have heard that call. And you have answered that call to discipleship, and you do follow Him. Now, what this doesn't look like is merely going to church on Sunday and thinking you've done your Christian duty for the week. Whew, got that done. Church is over. That's what it doesn't look like. What it does look like is a life completely devoted to Christ. It involves a daily relationship with Him. It involves studying His Word. It involves striving to live the way that He wants. It involves conversing with Him in prayer. Not just every now and then, but as the Scriptures teach us, pray continuously. It's a relationship with our Lord as we follow after Him. It looks like a hunger for more of Christ in His kingdom. You can't get enough. And in a desire to sit at His feet and to bask in His presence whenever possible. Now, this can certainly be done here in Monroeville. There really is no excuse not to be able to experience this. Whatever your occupation is, whatever your career or your job, or whether you're a student or whatever you do, you can find the time for Jesus Christ. You can find the time to follow Jesus in the way that He calls you to do. What excuse do you give? What excuse do you give to God when you say, I just can't find the time for You, Lord? What do you say? I hope you don't say anything. Just repent and follow Jesus in the way He calls us to do. And in following Jesus, we must seek time for Him. When we do this, amazingly, the Lord does to us exactly what He did with His disciples. Through the power of His Word and His Spirit, He teaches us, He molds us, trains us, strengthens our faith, and empowers us to do His will. Because the time of God's kingdom is at hand, we must respond to the call to discipleship. Now, I came across this poem by an unknown author. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. Must hurry off and get to work, for bills would soon be due. And so I said a hurried prayer, jumped up from off my knees. My Christian duties now were done. My soul could be at ease. All through the day I had no time to speak a word of cheer, no time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I feared. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to those in need. At last was time to die. And when before the Lord I came, I stood with downcast eyes. Within His hands He held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into His book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. Don't procrastinate. The time is now. It is now to respond to the call of Jesus, His call to discipleship, because the time of God's kingdom is at hand. We must respond to Jesus' call. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider this word, as we consider the call of Jesus to follow him, as we see the example of the disciples who immediately followed Jesus upon his call, Lord, I pray that we too would answer your call in such a way, that we would hear your call, that we would seek after you, that we would follow you through our days, every day. Lord, that we would have that hunger for more of you, that hunger for spending more time with you, from studying your word, for sharing the gospel with others, seeking to find those that you have called that perhaps have not heard it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to follow you in the way you would have us do it. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.